Sanctify us in your truth, O God. Your word is truth. Amen. Search as you might, you will not find the word Trinity in your Bibles. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is literally an invention of the church. But at the same time, it does come to us straight from the scriptures, as our texts today illustrate. The concept of God's self expressing the three personas of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet at the same time being a unity, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, it says in Deuteronomy, has been held in juxtaposition since the days of the apostles. The first person to use that term Trinity with a capital T in his writing was a dude by the name of Theophilus, Theophilus of Antioch in Syria, sometime before the year 186, we know, because he died in 184 or 85. Theophilus defined Trinity a little bit differently than we do. He defined Trinity as God, Word, and Wisdom. Yet, it wasn't until the next century that a man named Tertullian in Carthage on the north coast of Africa, of all places, used the formula we're used to, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until the Nicene Creed was revised in the year 381 that a full-blown understanding of the Trinity became acceptable as doctrine. And even that wasn't accepted by most Christians until about the year 451. At a church-wide council in a place called Chalcedon, right across from modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. So it took nearly three centuries of people getting together and meeting in conversations all over the Eastern Mediterranean world before this understanding evolved into the doctrine that we hold to today. And of course, still not everyone agrees with that a definition of God either. So, what are we to make of this Sunday, and how are we to think about God? Here in today's gospel, we see all three people of the Trinity, and each in a different role, yet together expressing the fullness of God's work in relationship to one another. In the gospel account, we see Jesus here with Nicodemus, who acknowledges Jesus must be from God because no one has seen the powerful thing Jesus does apart from God and God's work. So we have those two Trinity, Jesus and God. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the work of the third person, the Spirit, through baptismal water and living water. It is these sorts of interrelationships of God, Christ, and Spirit that has given rise to our understanding of the truth about the triune nature of God. And relationship of between these three personas is important because relationship is what the Trinity helps us comprehend about God. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to one another in unique and complementary ways, it is the complexity of these relationships that God has revealed to us, and we begin to understand the intricacies of the mystery of salvation that God brings to us through these three personas. God is so much more complex than the human mind allows God to be. All too often, we try to stuff God into a box of our limited conceptions so we feel to appreciate the beauty of holiness of God. The very nature of God is held in the relationships of who we know God to be, progenitor, offspring, breath. That God's between the three persons should be an encouragement to us. As God relates to God's self in relationship, so it is that God is also to be in relationship with humanity, even as God is able to be in divine relationship with God's own self. So, when we contemplate that relational nature of God as Trinity, we as church begin to use what it means for us to relate to one another in relationship as well. Here at Grace, we have recently been in conversation with one another about ministry and about being the church and about being in mission for Christ here in Corvallis. We have asked, what is this ministry going to look like in the future? And not only in the near future, but 10, 20, 30 years down the line. Sometimes we even wonder if there will be a church here at all. Do we have the capacity as community to maintain a faithful presence of the gospel of Jesus Christ even that far into the future? The answer to those questions is really a resounding yes. Over the past few weeks, we have been in conversation about just what it means to be a Christian community in the 21st century. We have recently framed that conversation about in terms of pastors' times and salaries. But really, as we look at the work of the pastors here at Grace, we are looking at the ministry of all the baptized in this place. We pastors are called to be teachers, preachers, caregivers, and leaders in this fellowship. But this is the local communion of saints. And the ministry of Grace Lutheran Church is really carried on by all of you in the pews on Sunday mornings. And yet the true ministry of Grace Church is not within these walls, but rather out in the streets, where you work, with your families, wherever you go. And you are pretty good at taking your faith with you into the world around you. You take seriously what Martin Luther called the vocation of the priesthood of all believers. Now, part of that vocation is also doing the difficult and sometimes time-consuming work of being community with one another. And we do that sort of work well, too. Not perfectly, but well. Here we see on the screen a word cloud that was formed from the listening process we participated in last fall. And our conversations about sexuality are examples of that as well. Those conversations did not always go easily or as everyone had wished. But everyone had a chance to be heard, and in the final analysis, we heard one another out and passed our newest welcome statement unanimously. And that is the capacity to be willing and open. It is that capacity to be willing and open to the opinions and yearnings of others that is the strength of our congregation as a community. And it speaks well for the fellowship of believers in this place. The koinonia, the fellowship of the Trinity, is revealed to humanity in order that there may be a koinonia, a fellowship between those believers who are called to be church. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Trinitarian relationship provides the basis for our relationships as church as well. On this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, our scriptures tell us that Abba, Christ, and Holy Breath, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is working through us and among us that we might become a divine force in this congregation, in our community, at large, and also the broader scope of the whole world. Because God's love is not just for those who go to church. God loves the world and everyone in it. And as such, the persons of God live in relationship to bring the love of God into all the vast reaches of life, in order that love may abide, faith may grow, and hope may abound. Amen.